This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Does President Obama want Syria's president to go?
In Syria, the only way that the civil war will end, and in a way so that the Syrian people can unite against ISIL, is an inclusive political transition to a new government without Bashar Assad.
Without Bashar al-Assad. That was the president earlier this year. Now listen to Secretary of State John Kerry just yesterday.
The United States and our partners are not seeking so-called regime change, as it is known, in Syria. What we have said is that we don't believe that Assad himself has the ability to be able to lead the future Syria.
So not seeking regime change in Syria, but the U.S. government is seeking a future solution that it assumes will not include Bashar al-Assad. What does Assad assume? He assumes that he'll be around regardless of the preferences of Washington and Moscow.
No external party has anything to do with the future of Syria, with the constitution or president or anything like this. No, we're not going to discuss it with them. This is the Syrian issue. Whenever the Syrian people want to change their president, it should be changed right away, in the same day.
That's Bashar al-Assad speaking with CBS News back in March. But Secretary Kerry's meetings this week with Russian President Vladimir Putin and his foreign minister Sergei Lavrov were apparently positive enough for Kerry to announce that tomorrow world leaders will meet here in New York for another round of peace talks on Syria and the self-proclaimed Islamic State. The ambiguities in Syria, Iraq, and Kurdistan, the lack of peace in post-Qaddafi Libya, the return to dictatorship in Egypt are the legacy of the U.S. invasion of Iraq more than a decade ago and the Arab Spring, which began 5 years ago this week. On the map, nothing has changed, but the map of the Middle East is changing. On the ground, populations are shifting and borders are being tested. Robin Wright is distinguished scholar at the Wilson Center in Washington and the U.S. Institute of Peace. She's the author of Rock the Casbah, Rage and Rebellion Across the Islamic World. Robin Wright, what is the chance that these talks will bring clarity to the situation in Syria?
This peace effort really are critical because the timeline that has been established calls for the Syrian government and the Syrian opposition to convene talks by January 1st. That's 2 weeks away. The prospects, obviously, are pretty dim given the scope of this conflict, the injection of the Islamic State now almost 18 months ago. But it is the most hopeful thing that's happened, and a lot is on the line.
Has the administration climbed down on this question of Assad must go or Assad must not go? The president was saying about 3 weeks ago that now what he believes is that there's no future that is foreseeable where Assad could stay, which is a kind of playing with language. But do they want him to go or not?
They want him to go, but they also have made it clear that the United States is willing to accept what President Obama calls a managed transition. He used this language when he spoke at the opening of the General Assembly in September. What it really means is they're looking for a sequence of events that will ensure Assad moves aside, but will be seen not to, whether it's match the fate of Hosni Mubarak in being abruptly ousted in Egypt or the murder of Muammar Gaddafi in Libya, that this will be a process that includes a six-month transition government that will be inclusive. They will then write a new constitution, and within 18 months, then the country will have democratic elections sponsored by the United Nations. It's getting everybody at the table. You have three totally different types of parties from Syria. You have the government, you have this myriad array of militias, and then you have the volatile Islamic State component, and it now controls a third of Syria, and it's not part of the peace process.
Yeah, let's remind everyone who's not going to be there. I mean, Assad's not going to be there, right? And ISIS is not going to be there.
They're not going to be in New York on Friday, but the idea is that by January 1st, you get the Syrian opposition and the government together. Now, whether that means President Assad or not is not clear. It may be his representatives, but they will begin the talks on a transition government. But I think that the compromise we're seeing slowly emerge is that President Assad may be part of that transition.
How can you arrange a future in Syria without talking to ISIS? And who gets to pick who this so-called opposition is who will come to the table?
Well, on the second point, the Saudis organized a meeting of more than 100 members of the political and militia opposition in the this month. And they are the ones who will be the party, the opposition parties to an initiative. The bigger question, obviously, is what about ISIS? But that's the one issue on which, whether it's the internal players, the opposition and Assad, will agree, and the 17 international countries involved in the peace effort also agree. Everyone has been scared to death by ISIS. And so they're coming together in what is the first viable peace process since this nasty war began in 2011.
And 5 years after the Arab Spring, just on a general point before we go, Robin, what we seem to be seeing is enormous pressure within these countries for some change on the map of the Middle East. Populations are moving and shifting. Governments are falling. Libya is barely holding together. But the map stays the same. Do you see pressures to really rearrange the Middle East map in ways that we haven't seen since the end of World War II, but essentially the map is staying the same. It's just the people that are moving.
Actually, since World War I. But you've identified the absolute right question. The bigger picture is, can these states, which were carved out by European and French diplomats a century ago, actually remain viable given the conflicts? In Syria, in Iraq, in Libya, and maybe even Yemen, there are big questions about whether the divisions are so deep in tribes, in ethnicity, in religion, that they will not be sustainable, or that you have to, at minimum, distribute power so widely, decentralize the state so widely that they're effectively autonomous regions anyway. But that's the core issue that no one's addressed. We've all kind of assumed for much of this period that the states as defined a century ago would remain in place. That's no longer so clear.
Robin Wright is a distinguished scholar at the Wilson Center in Washington and the U.S. Institute of Peace. She's the author of Rock the Casbah, Rage and Rebellion Across the Islamic World. Robin, thanks as always.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.